Well, good morning and bless your beautiful hearts. We're here in our great room. It's a particularly cold day here in North Liberty. So if you hear some crackling, we have a fire going. This morning I want to teach on Your Position in His Kingdom, Part 3. And this one's going to be on fellowship. Today is Sunday, the 19th of January, 2020. If you'll turn with me to 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, I'd like to start this off. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. John and the born-again ones at Jerusalem wanted all the newly born-again ones, as well as the disciples who are everywhere, to know the wonderful and intimate relationship we have with God, which they saw from the Scriptures and from the resurrected Christ. Through the accomplished works of Jesus, they saw eternal life. Coming from a background where only the priests in the sanctuary enjoyed such a relationship, this was almost earth-shattering. The priests were all descendants of the tribe of Levi. In order to be a priest and to ever get into the sanctuary, you had to have been of the tribe of Levi. No one could imagine then that they would ever have a unique position to ever serve like that. Here it is. He wanted them to know and believe God's love for them. Remember when Moses went up on the mount and no one would even dare put a foot on the mount or take a step on that holy mount? But now you can commune with God like Moses could. From the J.B. Phillips translation of the New Testament, I want to read you verses 1 John 1 through 4. It's beautiful. We are writing to you about something which has always existed, and that is eternal life, yet which we ourselves actually saw and heard, something which we had an opportunity to observe closely and even to hold in our hands, and yet, as we know now, was something of the very Word of Life Himself, for it was life. Well, what kind of life do you think it was? And what kind of life would it appear as the resurrected Christ? Eternal life, sure, which appeared before us. We saw it when they saw Jesus Christ in His resurrected body. They knew eternal life was absolutely correct, because He had been dead and God raised Him from the dead. We saw it. We are eyewitnesses of it and are now writing to you about it. It was the very life of all ages, the life that has always existed with the Father, which actually became visible in person to us mortal men. We repeat, we really saw and heard what we are now writing to you about. We want you to be with us in this fellowship with the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son. We must write and tell you about it because, more than fellowship, the full sharing it in eternal life extends the greater the joy it brings to us who are already in it. Perhaps you have thought or dreamed that someday I'm going to do something wonderful for God. Well, here it is. He's talking about it. But you think this or that about yourself. I'm such a sinner. I'm ashamed. I'm unworthy. when actually God has called you to do wonderful things for him. That is his expectation, so it should not be a wild thought on your part. Come near and commune with him. He has called you to his side. The blood of Jesus Christ has paid for your sin. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it reads, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Verse 16, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Grace is receiving what you really don't deserve. God just does it. And mercy is not receiving what you actually do deserve, which God withholds from us. Come, commune with them. Come means to beckon and indicate permission or authority. You know, you go up to a red light, there's a police officer standing there, and he's motioning and waving you through the light. He's telling you to come forward, to cross the yellow line or go through a crosswalk. You have permission and the authority to go forward. Come boldly. Come behind Jesus. He has already completed your redemption for your sins. Come boldly. Your sins are washed away. Come, commune with the Father. Many wondrous things do await you. It's about time for Lutherans, Episcopalians, Baptists, Catholics, Amish, Mennonites, Jews, and whatever denominations that are left that I haven't named, to be led into knowing and believing that our God of love is a forgiver and a healer. With the sonship benefit of the ministry of reconciliation, there are really two steps. Step one is reconciling yourself unto God and others unto God. That is the ministry he has given to us so that others may enjoy fellowship with the Father. Step two is reconciling those born again into our fellowships with God and with other believers in the church of God. At this point, our joy is then full. The word for fellowship is the Greek word koinonia, which means to have in common or to communicate or share fully. It's an intimacy. It's related to the word koinonia is the word for minister, which is diakonia. It is used for one who serves in the body of Christ, and it also means a deacon. It's one who supports the fellowship of believers by helping other people become a part of that believing fellowship and enjoying the fellowship together in hearing the teaching of the word and in just being together with each other. Like in verse 4 of 1 John chapter 1, ministers serve in the body so that the joy is full in the fellowship of those who have fellowship with God. Only then can there be fullness of joy. When we have everybody together, we can enjoy the fullness of joy among all of us. Joy is actually gladness brought on by the Holy Spirit. It's opposed to sorrow. It's the direct opposite of sorrow. Fellowship with our Father brings so much to rejoice about. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, it tells us, "As each one has received the gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." We should minister to one another because our fellowship with the Father and our fellowship when we all gather together with each other should be loaded with joy and loaded with healing. That gift of God inside you needs to be manifested. So step out to minister. God's word will uphold you. He has told us these things, and his word will uphold us. So we ought to be about our Father's business. In 1 Peter 4:11, it says, "If anyone speaks, let him speak of the oracles of God. Give them the greatest healing thing ever, his word." Remember, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. "If anyone ministers, let him do it as it is with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." That is why my teaching, and a lot of times in my teachings, I mention speaking in tongues so often. I want to bring it in conversations because one of the words, one way koinonia is translated, it means to communicate or to commune. That would be like having a conversation. But for us to commune with the Father, the best way is by way of speaking in tongues. I want to bring in the conversation with the Father through the gift of Christ that is in you, so you are back to the fullness of joy in his presence, that your fellowship with the Father is full and rich. I want to bring the conversation with the Father through the gift of Christ that is in you, so you are back to the fullness of joy in his presence, that your fellowship with the Father is so full and so rich. In Psalm 16, verse 11 from the Darby Bible, it says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." It's going to be pleasures forevermore. You enjoy pleasure?
Yep.
Then Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22 tells us, "The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." That's the way and purpose of reconciliation. For God may enjoy fellowship with his children, and that his children may enjoy fellowship with him. Isn't that great? That he can enjoy fellowship with us and we can enjoy fellowship with him. I mean, I've watched people come in with their babies, and I've seen a lot of dads just get so tickled by their babies. And the babies get so tickled just being in the presence of their dad. In our private prayer time with the Heavenly Father, we can simply have a pleasant and cheery conversation and communication of thanks. Speaking by the Spirit is to give thanks well. In 1 Corinthians 14:15, it says, "What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding." 1 Corinthians 14:17 then tells us, "For indeed you give thanks well when you pray in the Spirit in your private communications with the Father." And we should have that and really enjoy it. We should have great joy. Sorrow is not new. People have suffered it since man left the garden. In the Old Testament, there are many Hebrew words translated sorrow. None of them are favorable. In sorrow, we become hardened. There is pain involved, agony, anguish, affliction. Sorrow hurts and can cause physical damage. It can actually compound physical issues and add to them. Sorrow is laborious, it's grievous, and it's aligned with worshiping idols. Idolatry offers sinful trapdoors and access panels for evil spirits that they can then enter to cause spiritual problems like hardness of heart, bitterness, unforgiveness, all leading to physical calamity. Sorrow can be mental or physical, or both, and bring pain to the body and sorrow to the mind. One of the Hebrew words indicates anger, indignation, vexation, wrath, and can open doors for things like alcoholism and other things that tear up people's lives. Our worship of the true God brings joy. Give away our worship through idolatry because it brings sorrow. In Proverbs 15:13, it tells us, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." And if your spirit is broken, the end of that, everything becomes offensive. How do you think people get to the point where they think they should take their own lives becomes suddenly logical? But by sorrow, this Hebrew word refers to wounds, pain, hurts, injury, where through an idol, your control goes over to the enemy. They make you to bow down to them and cause you great indignation, hurt. In Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 10, it says, "Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." As an adult, acting like a child or acting childish is not cute. It's offensive. And the way we do that is we move toward fellowship with God. And one of the great ways to initiate it is by way of speaking in tongues and giving thanks well. You know, come unto the Lord. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 11 says, "Behold ye all that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow." Because what they used to do in the Middle East is they would, at night, they would light a rope and swing it as they were walking just to keep it burning. I do that to our fireplace here to try and keep it burning. And, you know, the sparks that come off of a rope light your path, but you're walking in the sparks of your own light, rather in the light of God. That compass yourselves about with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire and the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. This Hebrew word for sorrow refers to a place of grief or pain or terror. It's only used one time in the Bible. Then in verse 51, "Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away." When we go toward God, then the sorrows can flee because we can start to have joy. In Jeremiah 15, verse 18, it says, "Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed?" Well, because you haven't turned toward God. He's the one that brings the joy. It's through his gift of Holy Spirit. The word for sorrow is the word lipe. There are a couple of others, but lipe refers to heaviness, grievousness, grieving, grudging, annoyance, affliction, sadness. We'll look at a few of the verses. We want to see how sorrow in the heart is not God's will, nor is it from God. Fellowship with Him takes the sorrow from our hearts, and He fills our hearts with joy. That's His will. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse 10, it says, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of," because godly sorrow turns you back to our God, because you say, "Oh my gosh, I'm screwing up here. Why is this?" Well, because I am rejecting my fellowship with God. I need to go back and reestablish it. "But sorrow of the world worketh death." Both occurrences are alike. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. It says, "Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "And I wrote the same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you that my joy is the joy of you all." So when they would get together with Paul, it would be a great time of joy. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, because he had to correct them, he said, "Now, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby," who are then start putting on the word and acting according to the word and living according to the word, seeking God and seeking the truth from his word. Again, joy is God's will. The fullness of joy is in the presence of God. You're not going to find it outside the presence of God. You might find laughter. You might find some fun. You might find some joking around or something like that. But you're not going to really find joy. Joy is in the presence of God. I think there is a song about not letting anyone steal your joy. But really, our joy is in the presence of God. And he has beckoned you with all his authority to come forward. Move toward him with confidence. God bless you.